Yep, it's the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here alongside Brendan Dunlop and Thomas Dobby. This might be the hungriest I've ever been for a podcast. I'm starving.
I thought you were just hungry.
No, I'm not hungry to podcast.
I was going to say, hungry while starving.
On a Europa League famished. Thursday? How could we think that's
you
what he meant?
Should have got something at Tim's on the way up. You're thinking.
You know, I'm not into the wheat right now. I'm off the wheat.
Off the wheat?
And you haven't got many options.
The wheat.
Yeah, okay.
I'm off the wheat.
I was going to say, why are you so hungry? Yeah, good.
We should smoke up during this podcast.
That would be amazing.
We actually had great feedback regarding our suggestion to go and record a podcast at a bar.
I know, like three people said they'd come.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be amazing. Packed.
Wow. So at least we have three listeners. That's good.
Was it the Basketball Jones guys that just wanted an excuse to do another podcast in a bar?
I think Lee was one of them, actually. Lee was one.
Oi, Panas.
Yeah.
Panas.
He's too big to respond to us. He's got 50,000
followers. Yeah.
I mean, you think I talk a lot now. Just wait till if we smoked up before this. I wouldn't stop.
Oh, doctor.
Whoa, boy.
You're not helping my hunger right now.
Did the triple header that you guys had in Europa League Thursday, is that what did it
was a tough one today, man, because it's a double header, right? We start at 11:45.
It's a two and a half header,
but
really.
Then there's two and a half because Napoli start at one, so we're bouncing around all these different games.
Yeah, joining progress, and then
it's like non-stop. During the Champions League, give a half hour step down between the two games, which helps, but
not here.
It drains you. It does. I would hate to produce that show. Dan Fernandez, producer today, did an outstanding job. I don't know how he does it, because my brain would explode. You could do it, Dobby. You did it pretty much. You did it before.
Yeah. I had to build my show a different goodbyes and a new block four for 11:45 a.m. today, so you guys could come up early.
Really?
You're welcome.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
Good.
I didn't know that.
What time did you guys come up? 11:48-ish? Oh, right on?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. So they didn't take the outbreak.
Yeah.
All right, nobody cares.
Technical talk.
Nobody cares.
Yes.
About crashing the door of Everton.
But, you know, it makes it easier when you're watching such great games.
Yes. So should we break them all down?
No.
Can we please start with the denim kits that Napoli wear?
Just awful. It really was. But they did get better as they progressed, thankfully. But it was the Champions League. What's that?
Everton looked like
they were in trouble. We're not actually talking about
this. In the first half, I thought.
Krasnodar, not a bad team, actually. Honestly, they're actually not a bad team. They've got some nice, some tidy players, and they are the next big thing in Russian soccer. The next Angie.
Oh, boy.
They're the next Angie.
Tell me, what podcast would we be? How authentic would we be if we didn't talk about the day's action? Come on.
Authentic enough.
Let's jump back a day then, shall we?
Okay.
Or 2 days. Champions League week. That was exciting. Let's get some of these games. Good week for old people.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate this. Totti Gall, 38 years old. Scores.
Never kissed a girl.
I'm pretty sure he's kissed a girl. Have you seen his wife? Have you seen his wife?
Yeah.
Google Francesco Totti and wife. The boy's done well for himself.
Giddy up.
The Romanista. He certainly has, as he should. Becomes the oldest player to ever score in the Champions League as Roma tie Man City 1-1. And then Xavi becomes the most appearances in the Champions League as PSG actually beat Barcelona 3-2, but he comes in off the bench in that one. 143 apps in the Champions League. Think about that. That's a lot of Champions League football, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's been on a lot of winning ends in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, and it's nice to see, because we thought he was going to join some dreadful team in some dreadful Middle Eastern league this past summer.
Or the MLS.
That'll be soon. At least we'd see him over here.
Yeah.
But Luis Enrique convinced him, I will use you in important games. And he started on the weekend in La Liga, came off the bench in this one, so it's good to see.
Yeah.
He's not over the hill just yet.
And the old men, Messi and Ronaldo, inching closer to Champions League record there.
Yeah.
Messi drew level with Ronaldo on Tuesday, and then Ronaldo overtook him with that penalty after that horrific dive.
Mm-hmm. Good. So he was at his worst.
That was
just
brutal.
Flopping.
But it's pretty incredible
you're playing
at their age.
For starters, it's Real Madrid, Ludogorets, who have proven that they're not a walkover by any stretch. But still, I know he's only got one speed. But I thought he'd kind of got over this systematic diving.
I think you're being too harsh. When you get clattered by a player that's making 400 euros a week.
That's club legend Stan named after Cosmin Motsi.
Yeah, that's right.
Who did that, who he took advantage of for that penalty. So I don't think so. I don't think we're being harsh at all. He is. You named a stand after him.
They named after the penalty heroics.
Yeah. They named the water cooler at the score after you, didn't they?
Did they? That's nice.
I think so.
Is it still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a horrific dive. We're not being too harsh. And even at the end, when he went down like he'd been shot, and he actually didn't get touched.
Well,
and then
in my ear, we're watching the other game because that's our focus. And in my ear, producer Dan says to me, "I think Ronaldo's really hurt himself. Have a look." So that they flesh it up for us, and he's on there crawling around. Could it be a? Oh no, he's fine.
Yeah,
he's just fine.
Of course, he's fine.
And if you watch the replay, he wasn't even touched. He's grabbing his Achilles. He wasn't even touched.
That was a really interesting game, though. That turned into one of the probably the best game of the day, one of the better ones of the week. Obviously, Barca and PSG, but Ludo Goretzka. I mean, just the fact that they gave them that game and weren't scared, and you know, taking a lead like that, Real Madrid really had to work for it. And the fact that the defender had to fall down essentially for Benzema to score the winner late like that. I mean, it just shows how much character. And you know, I'll be the first to admit that when they got in, I thought, well, now they'll just get stuffed and they've drawn this tough group. And of course, they're in all likelihood not going to get out of it, but they get Basel for the next two games. So hopefully they can get some points. You know, they deserve that. And they're home to Basel next game. It'd be good for their fans to get a win. But I think they've already made a name for themselves. And these European nights, it's just something that even if they don't get back there for a long time, they'll remember.
Oh, for sure. But then that's the thing with Real Madrid. It's been that way since Ronaldo's been there. When they're playing team that they should beat, they tend to throttle them, as we saw on match day one. When they're playing teams that have no business sharing the pitch with them, it tends to be pretty close for the better part of an hour.
It seems that way. They rely on their talent. They think, you know, we're going to win this thing through talent alone, and they generally do. But yeah, are the hearts in that match? You're right, probably not. But it was, you're right, quite a compelling spectacle to watch by all accounts.
Good match.
Barca PSG was a great match. No Ibra for PSG. Doesn't matter. They win 3-2. Very impressive performance. Three huge points there. Barca concede their first goals of the season.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
To go from none to three. David Luiz was really impressive. And again, I'll be the first to admit that I've given him a lot of shtick because his defending is usually horrendous. But he was not only, you know, instrumental offensively scoring the first goal, but he was really good at the back as well.
He
was really sharp, and he looked like a 50 million pound player for one day at least. I mean, I don't think he has it to consistently be that guy that would be worth that kind of money and be one of the best players in the world, which is what that money would demand. But got to give him credit. He was really good. He anchored that back line. I thought that PSG's system was good. And without Ibra, I mean, you thought that, well, maybe they'll get a draw, maybe they'll just kind of go for a draw, but that all of a sudden completely opens up the possibility for them to win the group. And obviously we know how big that is. We saw it last year, how much of an incentive there is to win the group because you can avoid the big boys in the next round.
David Luiz is such an ego-driven guy, right? And I mean, everyone's written him off for costing 50 million pounds and his World Cup was horrendous. Goes to PSG to play alongside his best friend who's injured, so now he's the number one guy against the team that everyone thought he was going to go to. So I think he took that game by the horns and showed that, on his day, he certainly is has a touch of class.
But it's, with him, the case of do it for 3, 4, 5 games in a row. Yeah. Show us that quality. Because he has got the quality, no doubt, but it seems that he gets too ahead of himself, too confident, and tries too many silly things.
Oh, he's the worst defensively-minded defender in the history of the game.
You know what I find amusing, though, watching some of these Brazilians in action this past week, and you know, only 2 months ago now, we're seeing them crying on the field, and we're all lamenting the demise of Brazilian football, and how will these guys continue? You know, they lose 7-1 at home in a World Cup. It's the worst day of their entire lives. These were human beings that will crumble. Their very souls are burning as you speak. And here they are, running around, smiling, having a great... They're just footballers. They're fine. They're going to get over this. David Luiz, he'll get over it. Dani Alves will get over it. Yeah. Neymar, he's doing all right for himself, you know?
It's just
amazing how we blow things up and out of proportion, you know, when they happen. I guess it's what we do as sports fans and journalists.
But you do wonder how they'll, you know, be when they come together again to play for the national team matches,
national
right?
Team.
That's okay. Different story, right?
I mean, you're... Portugal. No, sorry, they're not. Sorry, it's Portugal playing Argentina, actually, next month. That's a beauty. Back to PSG, no Lavezzi either in that one. Cavani played up front for the third game in a row, where he prefers to play, still scoreless, criticized a lot in the French press again, despite
so
his
much
team
money
winning.
For him. He'll never get past
but
that.
But they're playing him out wide.
He's
most
been a shadow of himself from Napoli, though, the whole time he's been there. I mean, he's never really put it together again. And
but as Sharma says, he's never played where he's comfortable, never played where he's best used.
Yeah, but I remember when that went down, we just thought, wow, him and Ibra together, that is just going to be so amazing. I think the debate actually happened on a podcast of some sort where we thought, well, if one of them has to go, who is it? Because there was a debate, is Cavani as good as Ibra?
Sure.
And it's not even close. No. It's not even close. Yeah. It's been proven while they're there at Ibra. Ibra's a top five player in the striker in the world for me, for sure. I mean, if I
he could be top three player in the world. Is that he's in the argument for it anyway? I think he's 33 now.
Yeah,
obviously he's aging. But if you could pick one player outside Messi and Ronaldo to start for you tomorrow, healthy, he's got to be up there, hasn't he?
I think he's
up
he's
top.
A few people,
I don't know overall,
list,
but
no, who would you put there above him?
It's just he's first a loaded question.
He's a game breaker.
You go defender because that's
special.
Your gut.
Well, there's just we've talked about this before as well. There's no defender, not many defenders out there right now that absolutely take over games. So probably not. I would have to give that more thought.
It's a bit like the old hockey argument with Erik Lindros. The most dominant player in the hockey of the world back then was Lindros. Now Lemieux was maybe better at the time. You know, Stevie White, different era, of course, but he was dominant. And you look at Ibra, he is dominant. When he's on the field, you know he's on the field. And he can win a game at any time. No one can handle him. But he's 33. He says he's got 2 years left. Hopefully he stays healthy, but we'll see.
Remember when he went to Milan? It was the first year we had Serie A to score. And it was, you know, he had that poor year at Barca. They just discarded him after paying so much for him. It was ridiculous that Barca brought him in and just threw him away. So, and you know, loaned him out or whatever the specs were. But it seemed like a steal for Milan. But most people thought he was on the decline. He'd written it off, and he took it over, and they won the Scudettos. Yeah. Unbelievable.
His book's amazing. Have you read it?
No, I haven't.
No? I've got it on my mind. I'll bring it in. Yeah, it's
okay,
really good.
Okay, bring it in.
The first chapter's all about Barcelona and Pep.
Oh, okay. And it takes me about two years to read a book,
Pep.
But I'll be happy to.
There's lots of pictures
on my show. Okay.
So you can just scan through those. Yes. Good enough. You see Bex in the stands with Beyonce and Jay-Z? Well,
that's the people. The Illuminati, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Punter's people. One day he'll be there.
And
that's his dream.
That's a weird conversation.
Patrick Cannavaro was there as well. No one picked him out.
Huh?
I did, actually.
Big time Illuminati.
The pictures, I saw him.
Yeah,
I saw him in the pictures.
One night in Paris, amazing. Chelsea beat Sporting 1-0. Costa starts, a surprise there. Again, it was Zoe laughing at.
Thinking of One Night in Paris. For whatever reason, what creeped into my head was a...
Paris Hilton?
No, it wasn't Paris Hilton. No, it was...
The sex tape or
it
what?
It was done One Night in Paris.
No, that's what it's called.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No.
I haven't seen the sex tape.
Oh.
I'm not a Paris Hilton fan.
No?
No.
Which
is very annoying for starters.
Skinny blondes.
He's more meat in her bones.
Yeah, not bad. Anyway, there was a sign to go bring it full circle back to soccer like 2 weeks ago when they played at Ajax and... When PSG played there, it said the only Paris we like made a XXX tape, actually. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So when
you
I
didn't
said
see that?
On the, no, I didn't see that, no. But when I said that yesterday on the show, I said
One Night in Paris.
I was referring to a sex tape. I didn't know that.
Yeah. What really? Is that a saying, One Night in Paris?
I think it is.
Well, it's the
I think it is.
If you Google One Night in Paris, I guarantee you in the first three things that you'll get Paris Hilton.
You know, before I
I'm
eat tonight,
do
when I get home, I'm watching
self.
Go.
Let's
just
you.
Yeah. Or after you eat.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe during.
Good. Once the kid goes to bed.
Yeah.
Nice young men just talking about pornography. Good. Well, that's happened once or twice, I guess, on the pod.
I don't think we've ever done that before.
David Seaman and Paris Hilton. That'll be the combo.
So when you Google
boy.
You want to hear the...
Who's got a better ponytail?
So Google it on my company phone, and I spelt out the word one. Automatically, the top answer is One Night in Paris with the number one, Wikipedia, is a 2004... pornographic video depicting Paris Hilton
there you go.
Having sexual intercourse
well
in
done.
2001 with Rick ellipses. I don't see any other links for or comments about anything
Tom,
else.
You know a lot about pornography.
That's right.
Well done.
Apparently you do as well, subconsciously.
No, but, you know what?
Well, subconsciously, yeah.
It's one of those things. There's these charminisms, these words that you use that just like, and because we've worked together for so long, I just think are just normal.
Like
just everyone else uses these phrases. Like when I say give over and I'm not at work or
around people,
that
thing.
Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Like, give over.
That's more of a KJ than me, though. Give
was
over.
It?
Give over.
It's still a English.
Give over.
I like
it's
give over a lot.
Thing.
Yeah,
so it's a good one.
But One Night in Paris, I thought was a normal thing, but clearly we've been proven
maybe
wrong.
It was a film or something as well prior to that, prior to the pornography.
I don't know.
No? It's a great
maybe.
Name
probably
for a
is,
porno,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Maybe
that's
it was
fair.
Just some trip you went on in high school.
An American Werewolf in Paris. I don't know.
No,
Paris in the springtime.
There's plenty of porn in high school, but anyway, back to that match, Sporting and Chelsea.
Oh.
1-0. Costas Dodson.
Good.
Rui Patricio made some good saves. And
I didn't watch any of that game, despite it being across the country nationally. I was more focused on PSG Barca and Man City Roma.
We, by the way, people would complain about what goes on what channel often. It's not my call often.
Me complaining often, to you via text.
Yeah.
Texting Sharpton. I'm like, who made that call? I'm sorry. I got to get it out in the open.
Go ahead.
And I hope nobody is going to be angry at
no
me for listening.
None of the
three people who meet us at the bar.
But I turned on the matches, and it's no skin off my back because I have Sportsnet World. So Man City Rome was on World. PSG Barca is on one. And Chelsea against Sporting Lisbon is on the national network where you would normally put your big game. I could not believe it, because for me, that was by far and away the third best game of the day. By far and away.
The bottom line is, we are a rights holder of the Premier League. And
Man City Roma then.
Still bring in,
so then Man City Roma.
Sure, but the Premier League still bring in the big numbers, no matter what, right? And Chelsea does very, very well.
Chelsea would have more fans and bring in more numbers, I think, any match day than Man City.
And also, it's not my choice and not my call as to what we charge people for Sportsnet World. That's not me, so stop emailing me and tweeting me and complaining, okay?
You're
not,
just buy
you're
it.
You get, my
just buy
scale.
It. 16 bucks
one.
A month.
Yeah, I buy it.
If you watch, if you watch 5 games a month well on it, it's $3 a game. It's well worth it. And
if
that's,
you don't like it, go and spend a month in England, all right?
Yeah,
and
you won't
up.
Get any games. You don't get any games at the 3 p.m. kickoff there, 10 a.m. here. You have to just watch guys talking about the goals going in.
People still
blacked
don't believe
out.
That. People
it's
still
true.
Don't believe that. My first Saturday in England, I was at Newcastle, went to Shearer's Pub at St. James's Park, completely forgetting that we've had this conversation previously, that they do not air 3 o'clock games. Sitting in there, 3:05. Oh, they're still in the broadcast. It's weird. 3:07. Is there a problem? What game are they going to show? And the guy says, what do you mean game? Of course, in an accent that only Dobby can impersonate as well as Ray Hudson, a Jamaican Geordie accent.
What do you mean game, lad? What do you mean there, boy?
No game. It's 3 o'clock. Like, oh, okay. So completely forgetting. Completely forgetting. That they don't see the games.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
No, you're right.
The best place.
We're spoiled. We're absolutely spoiled here.
One freaking cup of coffee a week. That's what it costs you, right? One chocolate mocha ginger swirl a week.
Right.
That's all it is.
I love how you just named your drink of choice out of coffee.
So should we buy Sportsnet World or sponsor a child in Africa? Because it's one cup of coffee a day, right? That's always what they're saying.
Well, that is their phrase.
I'm not going to go.
We should do that. And get Sportsnet World. We should all just make more money, and then we can afford everything. That would be nice.
End world poverty as well.
That would be ideal.
It can be done.
You think we could do this with this podcast? Well, we'd have to go to far
more
exotic places.
If every listener donated $3 billion, right, we might be able to end world poverty.
Just off the rails.
I hear that Sportsnet Middle East is the next big thing that we're looking towards.
Nice.
So you never know.
Nice. Al Jazeera net.
How much trouble are Man City in? Let's get back to it here.
Man City, we're going there now, are we?
Yeah.
Man City,
I love it. Dobby wants to produce and dictate the show.
How much trouble are Man City in to get out of the group? I think they're in huge trouble.
I think they're in huge trouble again. Roma's on, 4 points?
Roma's on 4.
And Bayern's
on 6. Yeah. Bayern are going to be through. And Man City still have
big
to
issues.
Go to Roma now. Yeah. I mean, drawing at home, not ideal. They have CSKA and Moscow, their next two matches, City. Now it gets into the third and fourth match days.
Must wins, right?
The third and fourth match days, now you get the same team back-to-back is always how it works, right? So City have to win at Cheska and at home. They have to get 6 points from those games for sure and hope that, you know, Roma and Bayern takes them off each other, which they will.
It boggles my mind. We've had this conversation before, and you see it with other teams that are new. Borussia Dortmund, the first year that they won the Bundesliga, their first year in the Champions League, shadow of themselves, didn't look it. Next year, they're in the Champions League final, and we're watching them.
Hmm.
Why is it that City haven't adopted a European philosophy yet that they can play a fraction of as well as they play on Saturday in the Premier League in Europe?
It is really unbelievable.
I'm not sure what it is. Yeah, it does, 100%, because they are a great team. And if you break it down player by player, they're a great team.
They match
up really well with pretty much every team in this tournament.
Oh, they got run ragged big time.
They let Roma take the whole game to them. Why?
Yaya again.
Yeah, he's been bad.
I mean, I don't care what the reason is. He's not good enough right now. Simple as that.
Yeah, last year he was tremendous. He was your best player.
Forms temporary, classes forever. Well, you know, it's about time you found your form because your team's dying in Europe again, and it's going to cost your manager his job if you don't get out of this group. I'm sure it will. He's at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery. It really is. And I think part of it is teams don't fear going to play Man City.
No, not at all.
That's a big part of it. Even Paul Scholes ripped them post-match. He was saying how, listen, Anfield and Old Trafford, they were tough places to play. The fans were up for those games. Whereas City, it's like a library in there.
Well, there was a really good article, I forget where it was now, but about ticket prices and how, you know, part of the reason why City didn't fill the place, and it's easy to criticize them because they plan to expand to 60,000, right? But they can't fill in these European nights. Is you're paying, you know, 55 quid in a very blue-collar, working-class town and fan base that aren't prepared to do that. Yeah. And also in this article, blew my mind, they were just talking about over the years, you know, since Hillsborough and all Cedar Stadiums were to, you know, protect the safety, and there was even stipulations they weren't requirements, but they were stronger than suggestions, was the wording in the article from this report from the government after Hillsborough to only increase ticket prices, you know, marginally. And you look at how grossly they've grown, right? Obviously. Yes. In 1990, this was in the report, in 1990, you can get a standing room ticket to Old Trafford for £3.50.
Yeah, and that's before the Prem was born, though.
Not 1909, 1990. Yeah.
But it's before the Prem was born.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, you can't get into TV the Emirates. Comes aboard, creates this new league, and then everything goes through the roof.
You can't get into the Emirates for 100 quid.
Yep.
And, City can't charge any less for those tickets because they need to get the game revenue.
I believe Liverpool, the cheapest season is £750.
Probably.
Bayern Munich's £150.
Wow. Yeah.
It's Bayern Munich.
For
seasons, like the cheapest
17
ones.
Home matches, yeah, for, yeah, Bayern, because they play 34.
I don't care where.
That's incredible.
I don't care where
that's
they
less
are,
than £10. Wow.
I think a lot of these big stadiums too. I mean, have you been to City?
Yeah,
before? Yeah, you've been there, right? It's a nice stadium, but it's not really built for soccer specifically. It was built for the Commonwealth Games.
It was, yeah.
Right, so it's a big kind of cavernous type thing. They talk about bringing back the standing room.
Yeah.
Right, and I think at some point they're saying, you know, we can manage it. It's not that dangerous anymore. But that would bring energy to those kind of places, because right now it is lacking.
Would you want to stand in Manchester in the center room section on the terrace?
I'd much rather stand at a soccer match than sit. Absolutely.
I prefer to
stand. Way more atmosphere.
But
I mean, Christ, some places you get complained, when you stand up in your seats, can you sit down? Like, I'm at a bloody sporting
yeah,
game.
I know, I hate
or
that.
A concert.
Is I know.
I can't sit at BMO anywhere else but in that South End. I did it a couple times towards the north end on the touchline. I'm like, what, you're forcing me to watch the quality that's going on here? No, let me be distracted by all the yahoos around me.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Anyway, anything more about Man City you want to land-based?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Pellegrini's
still weird seeing Ashley Cole in a Roma uniform, though. Yeah. Yeah. Still a little strange.
He had some pace, though. He was he was charging up there like he was sub-30.
He's getting a lot of shtick in Italy for not attacking enough, apparently.
Yeah, I know Torresidas often gets in there instead of him, right?
Mm.
I think the last time around he was there at left.
Speaking of that, have been interesting. But I was just going to rip De Michelis. How he still starts boggles my mind.
Yeah, Mangala was really good when he made his debut, then had that dreadful game monster game, goal, and then gave the penalty away.
Yeah.
But you want to build a kid's confidence. Yeah. He has all the right tools, and he was brilliant 2 weeks ago. Brilliant. I know.
Speaking of cavernous stadiums with underachieving teams, Arsenal.
Mm. Arsenal. 4-1 of the Galatasaray.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm doing this.
That's quite all right.
All right.
No, you're right. That's a very good performance. Although Gallo were just dreadful, playing three at the back, and Danny Welbeck pit them apart.
Yeah.
Now people are saying, is it Welbeck? Is he the next Thierry Henry?
Oh, God.
Shut up!
Oh, boy.
Give the kid a break.
Well, yeah. Thierry Henry supposedly leaving the Red Bulls because
Red Bulls pulling
the money. No, Red Bulls going to pull the money from the team.
Right.
Apparently it's for sale, New York.
Really?
Yeah, $300 million. You want in on it?
I got about 20 grand.
It'd be a great idea if it wasn't for New York City FC.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
I've got some tweets about this one, too, I think.
Yeah, we got some tweets about Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
So thanks for proving that you actually do listen.
Yeah, a bunch of people tweeted back.
For,
it's good.
Like, love, hate, even recipes. It's got some recipes. And I keep talking, trying to find these tweets here.
One of them was about Arsenal. You got to find it because the wording and what person it is.
So organized, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this one. Okay, this one. First of all, hello, John here. He's a regular tweeter, and I appreciate that, John, or what your name is. Hello, John here. But he says, James, I know you're a gooner.
Yeah, I saw that one.
But
yes.
How about addressing the World Back for God campaign a bit early? Firstly, I'm not a gooner. Whenever I like say something nice about a team, people assume I'm a fan of them.
Yeah.
I'm not a gooner. And the funny part is, no team outside of England, inside England, have been more vitriolic towards me from their fan base than Arsenal fans.
I get hate from all of them. People think I hate Arsenal. People think I hate Chelsea. I get it all the time.
People are idiots.
Yeah, I kind of do hate Chelsea.
Yeah.
I did pick them to win the league this year, of course. And I'm impressed by them.
But about this whole World Chelsea, for God campaign, it is too early. It's what, I guess, fans do. But the bottom line is, he does have some of the same key attributes that Henry had. And when he first went to Arsenal, he was a project. At Juventus, he hadn't been great. Mm-hmm. And he was reinvented by Arsene Wenger. And listen, up front, it's a confidence job, isn't it? And
It's confidence job. Here's the thing. If you can be in the right spots at the right time with guys like Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil pulling the strings against a team so defensively horrific like Galatasaray, of course you're going to have those chances. And he finished them off, and it's all about confidence. I mean, I thought he's played pretty well for Arsenal leading up to this. He had that chance against Man City 10 minutes in when he lobbed and hit the post. If that goes in, maybe it's a different story. But all of a sudden, comes a couple of games. Where are the goals? We're seeing it with Balotelli now. I mean, he has the one, but we're already seeing Brendan Rodgers calling him out, saying, like, in terms of goals, he has to do better, and that honeymoon period's over. So for Welbeck to do this and get a hat-trick early, it's great. But let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves. If he scores 15 Premier League goals, that would be amazing, and Arsenal would take that. I mean, if he scores 20 on the season total, that's what they want from him. They paid £16 million for him to score about that amount of goals and be that guy. And he's going to get every opportunity because they have such a small lack of options behind him to play up front. Well, Sanogo's not ready yet. They tried and they keep trying.
He's hurt too.
And they'll keep putting him cups and stuff, but he doesn't have a Premier League goal to his name. This guy does not have yet the first team ability. Giroud's out till Christmas time.
Sign an extension though. So when he comes back, if how do they work the two of them? How do they play the two?
It's interesting. Who do you
pick? I still pick Giroud over Welbeck right now.
Yeah, I think I do as well.
I don't know. They're different players, right? Yeah. What I fear,
but it'd be nice to have options.
What I fear is that they'll just stick Welbeck out on the wing, as you know. You saw.
Yeah, they'll put Ozil out there.
Fergie and Moyes.
Hmm. Yeah, they'll put Ozil out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, although he was there on the weekend in the derby and played quite well, I thought. Arsenal Chelsea, by the way, on the weekend, and looking at the Arsenal injury Sunday, on Sportsnet at 8:30 Eastern. Looking at the injuries Arsenal have, man, they were great against a very bad Galatasaray, but I don't think this will end well. It was 6-0 last time, and you know, to compete with Chelsea, you must go nose to nose in the trenches with them. I think you have to. And who on that Arsenal team can do that? There's not one player.
No, right. Arsenal have to do what Chelsea do when they go away from home. We've talked about this multiple times over the last few weeks about how Chelsea went to City and were content to go there and just ground the game down and, you know, look for that late goal. And they almost got that result after the red card and went up 1-0. I think Arsenal have to try and do that. But will they? I mean, Arsene Wenger, celebrating 18 years at Arsenal, has never been able to do that. And he won't rest on his laurels. And we saw them get stuffed at Liverpool. We saw them get stuffed at Chelsea last season. We saw them multiple times take beatings at these big teams. Sunday for me is fascinating because Chelsea are in obviously amazing form to start the year. Arsenal, you know, have a good result here, have a good result there. And what will we see from them? I mean, we got another tweet from Real Talk, Man Can Jump, who's been tweeting us often actually lately. Asking why Arsenal fans are so insane. Every year they beat minnows, get revved up, and then get beat bad by a big team. Last five seasons, they have 1 win, 3 draws, and 16 losses versus top five away.
It's a good stat.
Yeah.
It's one win, three draws, 16 losses.
We'll believe that that's true. Yeah. We'll double check it.
Yeah, yeah.
That would take research.
We don't double check stats.
You know what I was thinking, though, this past week about Chelsea is, when do you ever say Chelsea was involved in a classic match? Very rarely. It's like a classic performance. They've been very good, but when they play against
6-3 against Everton was great.
Right, okay. That was one.
All right.
Sure. All right.
Yeah, that's one. Of all the big teams, though, it's very good.
Big teams, they don't allow that to happen.
You're right.
Right, because they do. They're so pragmatic, so conservative, and it gets the job done. You can't blame them for it.
I'd love
to see this being a classic match, but it's not going to be.
I'm trying to think of, if you'd asked this question before, I would have pulled a few out, and they would have all been in periods which Jose Mourinho was not their boss.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because you're right. Since he arrived, and I remember all the big matches when I first started working at The Score, and we had the games, and it was, Chelsea Liverpool. This should be a cracker. Mm-hmm. You know, 0-0. Chelsea never went for it. Never just did enough to get the result.
Oh, that Chelsea Man United game last year, the 0-0 early in the season that Roy Hodgson called
the best game of the season.
Best game. It was just deplorable.
It was dire.
Yeah.
it was like
the way that Chelsea play now, and I think the way in which they can go from 0 to 100 real quick, to use a stupid Drake line, they need 30 minutes. If Arsenal aren't running at them and testing them and asking questions of Chelsea, 30 minutes they'll have one, if not two, and that's the end of the game.
Yeah,
it's done.
I think Chelsea beat them handily this weekend. Should we keep going with the tweets? These
sure.
are pretty good.
Go ahead.
Philip Zed, the real ZG or ZG, best goalie in the Prem and best young English player in the Prem.
Best goalie, having seen Hugo Lloris today, by the way, for Spurs, they tied Besiktas 1-1. He was absolutely brilliant
really?
In that game. Really good. He's up there, certainly. I think De Gea is still someone you got to talk about, but is it anyone else but Thibaut Courtois?
That's what I was going to say. Amazing. I mean, Courtois has been there for 6 games, but I think that he's one of the best in the world. Tim Howard, I still have a soft spot for as
best
well. It's just he's always so busy.
Yeah.
He's always so busy and always does the job, and he's just been there for so long. But if you had one guy, like we said, you know, the team sheet thing, one guy to start the game, you know, of the season for you, it probably is Courtois.
Yeah. Or Brad Guzan, maybe.
Best
I don't think
player?
That Villa would have
best young
those.
English player in the Prem. It's got to be
English
Raheem
player.
Sterling, doesn't it?
Probably.
Young,
yeah.
I mean, it depends what age you're looking.
Yeah,
but
I think it's Sterling. I mean, Ross Barkley hasn't played this season yet.
No.
Sterling's the most exciting.
He knows playing really well.
He's been great.
What I like about him, and I mentioned it on my blog today on sportsnet.ca, is how he's being managed. For once, an English player is being kept at the U21 level,
yeah.
not being pulled up to the nationals just yet. Let's keep him, you know, playing at West Bromwich, playing week in and week out, under the radar, learning, making mistakes, and he's not being called up by the manager to the England team just yet.
Grant
and
Holt.
U21 should be important. The top teams put a lot of emphasis on youth grade football.
They do.
England haven't done that until probably the last couple of years, and I think it's going to pay dividends. They've got a huge game with Croatia coming up in the playoff for the U21s.
Who's their boss now? Top guy, do you remember?
Gareth Southgate.
Oh, right, yes.
All right, good chat. Favorite new BPL player to watch this season? I like that one.
I'm loving
Costa. Yeah, there's the obvious ones, Costa and Fab. I think it's got
to
be Pele for Southampton. He's been amazing. And that goal he scored is my favorite goal of the season so far.
Absolutely.
The goal he scored against QPR was just phenomenal. I like how much, you know, bravado he plays with and how cocky he is, and just it goes how the way he celebrates, just, you know, kicking down the corner flag, and the way that Southampton have started. I mean, he is super fun to watch.
He's real, man. He's got 50 goals in 57 games at Feyenoord the last two years.
Haven't seen a striker come from Holland and deliver since Luis Suarez.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I made the Afonso Alves joke last week.
Most people do.
Very good as well.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Very good. Koeman's got a great thing going there.
They're playing Spurs this weekend.
They sure are.
Pochettino.
Yeah, at Spurs.
Was it Tadic that was at United when he was younger?
No, you're thinking Tosic.
Oh, Tosic, right.
Yeah. Went nowhere. Tadic. That's right, though. That's a good call, because he was supposed to be a very special young talent.
Mm-hmm.
Never worked out.
Jack Grealish, have you seen him? He's only played
for Villa,
about
right?
half an hour for Villa. 17-year-old kid. Roy Keane thinks the world of this guy. He looks like he's from the 90s, plays without shin pads. And,
no shin pads?
Well, he's wearing like child's shin pads. Like, they're so, his socks
love
are so low.
Black
and
boots?
He's getting, and it's funny because you watch against Hull, and I think it was against Arsenal in that match. They lost 3-0. When he gets out there, he's being hacked and attacked like he's someone of, you know, respected as a supreme talent, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
His control on the ball, he doesn't look English at all. He handles the ball really well, reads the game really well.
What are you saying? English players don't.
It's very un-English of him.
At Neon Hegemony. Hegemony? How do you pronounce that?
Hegemony. I call it hegemony.
Hegemony? What does it mean, hegemony?
I don't know.
One of those words, so I want to know what it means, because it sounds
really
cool.
You went to Ryerson, you don't know the
it's
answer
like
to this?
Very, it's like very, I think it's like level, it's tough to describe. Hegemony is like very like straight, level, kind of in the middle, I believe.
So neon hegemony
might
could
be
ironic
way off,
in some ways.
But
hegemony, that's what, that's
what does it mean?
Someone look it up. Anyway, he actually responds to the recipe. He says, a bit of cherry tomatoes, garlic, spinach, and olive oil. You know, you're right. Having spent some time in Italy this past summer.
All right, course, that was way off. All right, go ahead.
I think pasta is overcomplicated often in these parts, and all you need is a simple, simple little tomato sauce. Mash up some tomatoes, be it cherry tomatoes for some sweetness. Add some basil, some olive oil, lots of garlic. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm. I was so far off with that.
What
influence
mean?
Or authority over others. The social, cultural, ideological, or economic influence exerted by a dominant group.
So
it's a hell of a Twitter handle then.
So neon.
So within this,
the neon is
realm,
dominating.
But how do you use in a sentence though?
There was one there actually. Battled for hegemony in Asia.
Oh yeah.
No. They battled for control, influence, whatever. So like, you know, England is like hegemonous.
Hegemonous.
Hegemonic.
Once upon a time.
Adjective.
And now the USA enjoy great hegemony.
Yes, you got it. Yes.
Little lesson for the listeners and us.
We're
challenge
idiots.
For Dunlop. You're on tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
right? With the Martine. I want you to work the word hegemony into
yourself. Yeah, do
it.
Just got how to pronounce it. Okay. Tigers are down 3-2, by the way. They were down 2-0.
There we go, boys.
Top of three.
How's how's Big Sess doing?
Big Daddy. Sess. It was 2-0, then it was 2-2. Victor and JD Tigers? Martinez both homered.
Are you thinking of
Cecil Fielder?
He's not there anymore.
He's not
Prince. No, he was traded.
He knows what Cecil. He always does the references like the 80s, like Lloyd Mosby and stuff.
That's
come
right.
on.
My bad.
Where you been? That's right.
I never talked baseball with Charmin. That's kind of the thing. I loved listening to you read baseball promos all week, though. It was incredible.
I enjoyed doing those.
Especially today when you go from Orioles, Tigers. That'll be special. Or if you really like football, we've got Ludogorets Razgrad on this channel.
I know. I enjoyed it. I referenced the KC game yesterday.
You did.
And how great it was.
I also think, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but because I was half paying attention, but I believe I caught you. You didn't use the word the. You said Oakland A's versus KC Royals. You didn't use the.
Really?
Which was very British of you.
Yeah.
KC. He's just spreading his hegemony over the network.
Yeah, over the network. Yeah. Slowly Charmin. But surely, I'll own you all.
Hegemonic Charmin over here. I'm probably pronouncing it totally wrong.
Do you get hedgehogs over here?
Yeah, I think so.
Porcupines.
I mean, like Sonic the hedgehog.
No, but the actual rodent, the hedgehog.
It's a great game. You know what I was thinking of the other day?
Oh, God.
I would love to just one day, like on a day off, just like turn my phone off, like not it's like impossible. Pay attention to anything, and like rent or like find like an old system, just Nintendo or like Sega, and just play video games
like
and just
when we were
be
kids.
An idiot like a kid, just play
NHL
like obviously we'd have to like get high like but it'd be really fun, like I mean just play video games all day,
you know,
and not do anything else.
I'm
like when I was a kid
tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow, right?
So am I. I was gonna sit around and watch baseball all day, but maybe we should rent a system.
We should, yeah. Well, maybe rent one night in Paris.
Oh, well, even better.
What
games the adult
do you play
version
now?
Of taking the day off and watching, playing
exactly.
video games is taking the day off.
I spend a whole day by myself masturbating. You know, it's been so long.
Oh, boy.
Adult
video games. Searching for Molly.
Yeah.
How long is the video in here? One night in Paris?
I don't know. I usually get to like the 10-minute mark.
You know, you and I have had a few jokes before us. You know, we've graduated from the D-bag FC level, and of course, the famous time when Sharma was offended. He's like, I was a D-bag before you were born.
I used to be a D-bag. The D-bag before any of you.
Yeah, I was.
All right. What other games did we not talk about?
Liverpool lost to Basel.
I knew that was coming.
That was bad, man.
I picked Basel. I picked Basel
so
to beat them.
Poor. Did you really?
Yep. Knew it was coming.
The San Hapub crowd.
Liverpool stink. They're garbage
now.
They've
got some big issues.
They got
There's
some
no doubt.
Real
Steven
issues,
Gerrard
man.
Called them soft post-match, which is a big indictment on that team.
Well, Lallana doesn't look like a Liverpool player to me.
Didn't start that, did he? Coutinho started
this
again
season,
and was looking much better
the
last couple of games, and then was terrible and got in a bit of a tizzy with Rodgers on the sideline and went off without
Still missing Sturridge.
Yeah.
It's a big mess.
I honestly thought without Sturridge, without Suarez, with Ballo, they'd be fine.
Ballo, I mean,
he hasn't been horrendous,
but he hasn't
been great.
All the concerns about him have not come to fruition, right? He's worked really hard. He hasn't sulked.
Right.
But what we thought would be automatic is quality hasn't really been there yet.
No.
But I'm still thinking it's early. He doesn't really fit into the system quite yet, and it is a complicated system. His runs just aren't where they should be. He's not picking up players. He's just not really fitting into that Red system going forward, which...
Yeah.
He's
always been
kind of
rogue in the system anyway. Like his off the ball movements, it's crazy. It's something that unless you purposely sit down to watch, you wouldn't have realized before. And I think now at Liverpool, he doesn't have the opportunity to do that. He's learning as to what risks to take, where to be. I still find him more often than not to be in the right place, but hasn't been able to capitalize and hasn't been able to make the teams pay like he was in the past.
Yeah.
Marco Streller. That's why I picked them. Always scores. Mm-hmm. That's right.
They weren't even 3-1. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else happened?
Well, let's
That's pretty much about it.
And let's approach the weekend here quickly. Villa against Man City. Roy Keane's got a new book coming out, a new biography.
I can't wait.
Called The Second Half. His first one was amazing.
It's going to take you 2 years to read it, though, you said.
But, well,
between that and Ebra, you got like 4 years of reading to go. And Ken Reed's book as well on hockey cards. It's like 6 years.
Oh, boy.
Good.
Paul Lambert says,
did you get a copy of that? I didn't get a copy of that.
The launch is Monday.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Is it? Yeah. Where's the launch?
The launch is at actually our shoeless shows at King and Duncan there. Nice. So
we'll get down there.
I'm gonna probably head over just before work.
I'll go with you.
Yeah.
So it's basically stories, hockey stories, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Ken, so
Ken's a great guy.
Really care for hockey cards all that much, but
yeah.
How many Degrassi references are in that book?
A ton.
He loves Degrassi.
He knows his retro pop culture.
And wrestling as well.
I told him we went to Snake's Bar. He couldn't believe it. In fact, he said, let's leave work now and not do the show and go to the bar.
Really? I can't believe it either. What is Snake's Bar?
Snake is a...
Oh, Snake's Bar. As the Snakes and Degrassi.
Yeah, Snake and Degrassi owns a bar in
Toronto.
Called
Snake's Bar.
Oh, sorry. No.
Wasn't that in One Night in Paris? Wasn't it set in Snake's Bar? No?
You'll find out after you watch it.
So Snake of Degrassi now owns a bar, is what you're saying.
And I think we've been there.
What's it called again?
It's...
on King Street or Queen Street?
Queen Street.
In Toronto.
It's the place we went for the World Cup.
Where?
The bar on Queen we went for the World Cup for that...
Dog and Bear.
Oh, in 2010.
I almost said Queen.
What?
Dog and Bear. No, Punters and I went.
That's the bar.
I didn't go. Netherlands, Spain, like group stage game this World Cup.
Does Caitlin ever show
up? You weren't invited.
I don't believe so.
No? It's too bad. She was hot.
You're sick.
I'm not sick today. At all. She's not sick.
All right.
She was. I had a bit of a crush on Caitlin back in the Degrassi Junior High days. That's all I'm saying.
We've just been awful on this podcast.
I know. Man U Everton. Interesting.
7 a.m. Sunday. Boy, that's going to be tough.
No Rooney. They might actually play well this time, right?
7 a.m.
Matt's very happy about the red card.
Everton played really well there last year, actually.
I'll tweet about this.
Remember.
I can't do these early games anymore.
7 a.m., I know. First world problems, man. 9 o'clock for Arsenal-Chelsea would be tough enough.
It is.
Yikes. There's no early game Saturday, though, which is nice, except Sheffield United play at 8 a.m.
I get home at like 3. I can't go to sleep. Then I can't wake up and then nap in the day.
Yeah.
It's bad. So I'm up for 17 hours exhausted. Monday comes to sleep for 15 hours.
Yeah. Monday's a good day to sleep.
This is why I get sick all the time. And I apologize for coughing into your ears, by the way. I've tried to shield myself.
But you're off Mondays, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
By Chris Black, actually a producer here, Chris Black says, why does everyone jump all over Rooney for his red cards when other captains, Keane, Vidic, Gerrard, etc., have plenty more?
Because Rooney's a nut job.
That he gets them. I mean, the one last week was just... You know, so ridiculous.
Did it not remind you of the Macedonia one?
It did, yeah.
As soon as I saw it.
Complete petulance. I think also those other captains, Keane in particular, he stands out, but he did it while his team was, you know, in the ascendancy, was playing really well and winning championships. Mm-hmm. He had their resume under me. What are you laughing?
Finish your point. I remembered something, the previous conversation, but you're on a roll. Finish your point.
Not really a roll. It's just a...
You ruined it.
I didn't mean to. I wasn't even looking at you.
But back in those days, Roy Keane would get red cards, and they were stupid, sure, but his team was winning championships over and over again. Right now, United's in dire straits. They're desperate for points, as England have been in dire straits.
Nursing a 2-1 lead at home against a crap West Ham team. Terrible timing.
Okay, now it's
your turn. The word petulance.
Yeah.
So that's a Charmanism. I've never heard another human being use that word petulant.
Really?
Just Dobby, because we've recycled it from you. I've never heard anyone else use it.
A football name.
I don't think I've ever said it, actually.
Petulance.
Try it.
Pedantic.
Petulant.
It's nice, isn't it?
Petulant child.
You have the three P's, right?
Petulance.
Pedantic. That's very much a Charmanism.
Definitely.
And penultimate. I've heard other people use penultimate, but that's definitely a word I associate
with. Big fan of P words.
Paris.
Yeah, for example. Very good.
This podcast is awesome.
As noticed, your tweet before coming in to record today, Dunlop. Last time I met John Sally, who might it be today? What a name dropper. Yes, we know you met John Sally last week.
Oh, you were in your Tigers hat again.
Best picture of all time. Good.
What is it right now? 45?
We're at the 44.
Yeah, I got to go.
We got to go. I'm so freaking hungry.
I got to go to the gym before work.
What should I eat?
Go Tigers.
All right.
I might get some Swiss Chalet tonight.
Good choice.
You've been to that Portuguese place.
Overpriced. It's not a good choice.
I know, it's like $13 for a
core chicken.
Yeah, it's too
much. It's a crapshoot. You get these shriveled pigeons sometimes. Or you can get some beautiful, juicy turkey.
I still haven't taken you to that Portuguese
pigeons.
Spot. But everyone that goes can no longer eat Swiss Chalet. He's refused to go because he knows it's too hot for him.
Well, where
they
is
use
it?
Tomatoes. There's one place in college. The place
it's too
college.
Far, man.
I know. You can't go for work, but if you go there, you will never be able to eat these shriveled pigeons again.
I've actually ate pigeon once. Wood pigeon.
You always talk the big game with the food, though. I mean, we went for the Skuta Skata thing before. It was okay.
Oh,
but
sorry. I forgot. Yes, that was the place
right.
I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah.
You
it
can
was
still
all
eat
right.
the chalet after that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sure.
I think most listeners' general disinterest is turning to anger at this point.
No, they're all calling up and ordering Swiss chalet for dinner to get some...
Dirty bird!
To get some...
some dirty bird.
What was it? Pigeons? Shriveled
pigeons.
Pigeons.
Well, often it is.
Good.
That sounds like the name of a really bad football club. Wouldn't it be?
Well,
the shriveled pigeons.
Off to watch One Night in Paris with the shriveled pigeons.
Pigeon. Another P word, see?
Good night.
Another P word. Oh, yes. Shouldn't forget this weekend on Sportsnet across the empire. Liverpool, West Brom, Swansea, Newcastle, Villa City, then Sunday, the big one, Chelsea against Arsenal. Please keep sending your tweets in at James Sharman, at Brendan _ Dunlop. You must get it changed, by the way.
What?
The underscore part bugs me.
Really?
Yeah. By your name. And at Thomas Dobby. Yeah. Bye.